Think it'll be all right? Well, good morning. It takes a lot to get God's people out this early in the morning, don't it? Thanks for allowing me to be with you today. Thank you, Brother Don, for having me. It's good to see all of you again. I count all of you as my friends, and I hope you count me as your friend. Amen. I love the Lord. God's been good to me. And my wife talked me into coming down the turnpike today. It was actually a better way. I think I'll do that from now on, even though it costs a little extra. Well, brother, Bean, you did give a large topic. I thought, my goodness gracious, you could preach a... they said Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones over in England preached 12 years on the book of Romans, but I bet you could preach at least 12 weeks on this just one topic you gave me. So that's the thickest outline I've printed out in a long time. So Tim said he'd give me all his time if I need it, so praise the Lord. The... No, I'm glad to be here. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. We're going to look at a few scriptures this morning, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Heavenly Father, bless your word today. Please help me. I want to be an encouragement and a help to the people. I want the Holy Spirit to be here in power. Lord, we plead your presence and your power today. Lord, if someone here is lost, we pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them. And Lord, that the word of God would go forth and go into all of our hearts and make a difference. Thank you, Lord, for the love you've given us. Thank you, God, for the Son of God. Lord, we just praise your name for your goodness to us. We don't deserve a thing. We're just thankful, Lord, that you're so good to us. Please bless your word today. Bless this meeting. Bless each speaker. I'll give you all the praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a very strange day. Well, at least it's strange to me. The world and this country in particular seems to have gone off the rails. As far as the sermons go, I was thinking I probably could have just read my text and said, "Have you been to the Walmart lately?" My topic is the effect of sin on mankind and the world. And in the day in which we live, even the topic I've been assigned would be considered offensive and hateful to a lot of folks. Maybe we should soften it up a little like some of the newer Bible versions do and change the title to "The Effect of Antisocial Behavior on Humankind in the World." If you want to see the effect of sin on mankind in the world, just turn on the news or read the newspaper, huh? Just listen to the radio. And one problem we face as Bible-believing Christians is most people either can or won't admit that anything is sin, as Brother Don was mentioning. There's no such thing as right and wrong to a lot of people today. Even Christians, when confronted about sin, will make excuses and downgrade their sin. I've been told on more than one occasion by people who claim to be Christians that all sin is the same. Let me clue you in on something. Jesus did say that lust and adultery are both sins, but that doesn't mean they're equal. Let me give you an example. It is much worse to actually murder a person than it is to hate a person. even though they are both sins in God's sight. It is more of a sin to steal your neighbor's car than it is to steal an ink pen from work. Or even worse, it's more of a sin to steal your neighbor's wife. Not all sins are the same. Some sins are worse than others. And we've become so morally confused in this day that, and biblically illiterate in this nation, that it's beyond imagination. It seems that nothing is wrong anymore except to say that something is wrong. Let me say that again. It seems that nothing is wrong anymore except to say that something is wrong. Who would have thought 30 years ago that sodomites would be marrying one another and adopting children? Who would have thought 30 years ago that our government would be forcing us to allow men in women's restrooms and boys in girls' locker rooms? That's exactly what's going to happen unless God intervenes. I certainly do know one effect of sin on mankind: insanity. I want to start off with a concise biblical definition of sin. 1 John 3:4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is a violation of the law of God. Sin is rebellion against God's will. Sin is puny man shaking his fist in the face of God. Sin is, when we break God's law, it's a sin of commission. Sin is not a trifle. It's a tragedy. Sin is an evil thing. It's a thing of great enormity. The songwriter says, "Was it for crimes that I had done?" He groaned upon the tree. "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." Sin hung our Savior on the cross. But there are also sins of omission. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So it's not just you did something bad, it's you didn't do what you should have. That's why there's no such thing as sinless perfection. I know I've told you this before, but I like it, so I'm going to say it again. C.H. Spurgeon said, "I once met a perfect man and he was a perfect nuisance." No such thing. I don't understand how anybody could eat. I wake up in the bed every morning and realize I'm a mess. I don't know how you think you could go 2 or 3 days without sinning. I want you now to turn to Genesis chapter 2, if you would please. The effect of sin on mankind in the world. That was just my introduction. So now I'm going to have to hurry, so you guys listen fast, all right? Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now if you would turn over just a page or so to Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" Verse 10. "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of the face thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The effect of sin on mankind. God had told Adam, In the day that thou eatest thereof, you will surely die. The Bible says, As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Mankind is dead in sins. Dead in sins. You and I are born rebels. We're born rebels. Amen. You and I might be physically alive. You and I might even be morally alive. But we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead. Outside of Jesus Christ, every person is spiritually dead. The Bible says, And you hath He quickened who were dead. Who were dead. The Bible says, But God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You're dead. You're dead. What can a dead man do? I tell the folks at church, we've been preaching on bitterness. Doing Sunday school on bitterness. I said, when anger, you know, all that's together. Angerness and bitterness and all that comes together. I said, if you go over here to the funeral home and stick a pen knife in one of those corpses laid down there in the basement, what's he going to do? Nothing. He's dead. Dead. Man outside of the grace of God is spiritually dead. Man outside of the grace of God is without hope in this world. There's no hope in this world. Hopelessly lost. Not only is he hopelessly lost, he loves it that way. If God doesn't stop your wild career, in evil long I took delight unawed by shame or fear. That's what John Newton said. Until he saw the cross and it stopped his wild career. Aren't you glad for the day, if you're saved here today, aren't you glad for the day God stopped your wild career? Unless you change, unless God does something in your heart, unless He quickens you, you'll die and go to hell and love it. Our sin has separated us from our God. That may sound a little strong to you. It flashed through my mind just now. When I was a teenage boy, we rode around the car singing, I'm on the highway to hell. We were proud of it. We were proud of it. Hell ain't a bad place to be. I had all those tapes. You think rock music okay? I'm going to tell you, real nice and kind, you're an idiot. Our sin has separated us from our God. It had a physical effect, didn't it? In Genesis 3:16, God tells the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The curse brought pain in childbirth, didn't it? We've had four of them. My wife's had to put me out of the room because I was joking too much. She wasn't in the joking mood. She told my mother-in-law, get him out of here. I'm old school, though. I thought you ought to be out in the waiting room reading Time magazine smoking a cigar. I'm kidding. I don't smoke. In Genesis, we just read it, says, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, thou shalt, he says, all the ground is cursed and you'll work all your life just to scratch out a living. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower, like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. From dust you came and from dust you're going back. Men work and toil and their bodies break down. And when life's over, they just leave it all behind, don't they? They just leave it all behind. You ever thought about that? You're going to leave it all behind, friend. You heard about the fellow that showed up to heaven with a wheelbarrow full of gold, didn't you? All the angels were snickering. He said, what are y'all laughing at? And they said, well, you brought pavement. You're going to leave it all behind, aren't you? Our lives are like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, you wake up one day, you're 17. You wake up the next day, you're 45. And the next day, you're 75. If the Lord gives you that long. And you're like, where did it all go? When Adam sinned, Henry Morris said, when Adam sinned, the curse was pronounced. He immediately died spiritually, and he also began to die physically. He plunged us into a mess, didn't it? It had an eternal effect, didn't it? The effect of sin on mankind has an eternal effect. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 5:12, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I call him a friend. I hope he's my friend, but he doesn't like lordship salvation. I told him that one time. I said, that verse doesn't say Jesus Christ, who you might make Lord. It says Jesus Christ is Lord. He died and rose again that he might be Lord. And he's your Lord whether you like it or not. I'm glad he's my Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad. I'm tickled to death about that. I don't understand a bunch of Christian, so-called Christian people want to fight the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't get that. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It'd be good, folks. It'd be good if you're here today. Hey, if you're here today lost, it'd be good if the grave was the end, but it's not the end. It's not the end. There's a death. There's a second death. I know I in no way pretend to know the mind of God, but I cannot help but wonder as He looks down on this earth if it doesn't echo what Genesis 6:5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The effect of sin on mankind, the effect of sin on the world. It's this beautiful time of the year. It's spring. And things are budding and blooming and flowers. And this is a beautiful world God's given us, isn't it? It is a beautiful world. Could you imagine what it was like for the fall? This is not the same place as when God said that after the sixth day of creation, God said that it was very good. This is not the same place as that, though. By the way, I believe in six literal days of creation. Let me tell you how strong I am about that. If the Bible would have said God created the heavens and the earth in 6 seconds, I'd believe it. I don't need to explain it away. Amen. I used to tell people, I'm still saying, I'm just dumb enough to believe every word of it. Amen. I believe it from cover to cover. I believe the cover. It says Holy Bible. I'm serious. I stake my soul on what this book says. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm so glad. God saved my soul. I could just stop preaching and testify. The effects on the world. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 20, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. You other preachers sitting there thinking, boy, I wish you hadn't used that text. That's the one I'm using. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right, won't it? I tell you, if you get saved, you'll have a hunger for preaching. Yes, sir. You want to hear the Word of God taught, the Word of God preached. I heard a fellow say one time, he said when they was little boys down in Florida, their daddy bought him a baby alligator. And he said when they brought that little alligator home, it would fit in a shoebox, and they'd take that alligator's mouth and they'd hold that mouth open and they'd shove hamburger meat down that alligator's throat. Listen to me. He said when that alligator got about 5 foot long, he said you stood back about 3 foot and threw it in the pen because it'd take your arm off. Yeah. I've got a hunger for the Word of God. I've developed the appetite for the Word of God. I can't live. It's more needful than my necessary food. In verse 20 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but the reason, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Hey, not only do we groan, do you groan? I mean, just the physical tolls of life make us groan, don't they? Just working day after day and getting up and dragging yourself out and doing the things you have to do. This body starts breaking down and falling apart. We groan. But I tell you what else. The other day I turned on the radio, was driving to work, and that verse came to my mind that the Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation. I'm vexed. I'm vexed what this world's become. I groan under it. Not only do we groan as Christians, I believe the earth's groaning. I believe if the earth was a person, it'd like to throw us up. It'd like to spit us out like the whale spit out Jonah. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, this is a world of tragedies. This is, if you watch the news or listen to the news or read the paper, it's earthquakes, it's tornadoes, it's hurricanes, it's mudslides, it's torrential floods. It's just a world of tragedies, isn't it? We're living in a fallen world. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand we're living in a fallen world. The earth seems to convulse with the sickness of sinful man. It groans, it travails like a woman giving birth. The world is filled with violence, it's filled with terrorism, it's filled with hate, it's filled with filth, and filled with disease. It's a sad world. I don't know how people go through it without the Lord. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said there is an impurity, deformity, and infirmity which the creature has contracted by the fall of man. The creation is sullied and stained, much of the beauty of the world gone. Just about everything man touches, he messes up. I'm going to read to you out of Jeremiah 23. You can turn there if you like. Jeremiah 23. Verse 9, the Bible says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and the course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. In my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Jeremiah said, the land's mourning. The land's mourning. Why, Jeremiah? Why are you so upset? Because of television. No, that wasn't it. Why are you so upset? Because of rock musicians. No, that wasn't it. Why are you so upset, Jeremiah? Why is your heart broken within you? Why are you rocking and reeling like a drunken man? Why are you so upset? Because of the preachers, the prophets. Amen. That's what he said. He said, both the prophet and the priest are profane. He said, my heart is broken within me because of the prophets. We're living in a land of false prophets. A land of false prophets. The average preacher today wouldn't yell boo if a rattlesnake was around his neck. People just don't want to hear the truth, and people don't tell the truth. My dad's a lost man. He used to tell me facts are stubborn things. The land was full of cursing and swearing. The preachers weren't holy. They were profane. And because of the swearing, the Bible says the land mourneth. Sin. The effect of sin on the world. The effect of sin on mankind. The effect of sin on our nation. Sin has turned the world upside down. You start telling people the truth, and you know what they'll accuse you of? They'll accuse you of turning the world upside down. That's what they said about the apostles, wasn't it? When Paul and them was preaching, they said, hey, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. In other words, they'll say, those no good hate-mongering Christians. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world that's groaning under the strain of sin. We live in a fallen world that mourns over the effect of sin. Death and destruction is all around us. This is not what God created originally. I can't imagine it, what it would have been like. Let me just say this, though. I've given you a lot of bad news. I thank God that there's a new world to come. There's a new world to come. I believe in a millennial reign, by the way. I don't know if y'all do or not. I ain't running for election, so. I already got church, so. I believe in I'm not Reformed.
Amen.
There's some good guys in the Reformed movement, don't get me wrong, but I'm not Reformed. I'm not Reforming anything. Amen. A lot of them fellas are all millennial. Am I doing all right? I think there's a new world coming. The Bible says there'll be no more curse and there'll be no more death. Amen. The Apostle Peter reminds us that everything here is going to burn up. Everything here is going to burn up. Everything here is, everything you see, the Bible says, is going to melt with a fervent heat. I mean, I'm talking about your pickup trucks, your four-wheelers, your bass boats, your camps, your beach houses, yeah, everything you've got, folks. Your side-by-sides. I'd like to have one of them, by the way, if anybody wants to donate. All that stuff's going to burn up, isn't it? You better set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Peter went on to say, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." I tell you, you live without God, you'll die without God. Evelyn just had an uncle pass away. He said, "Don't send no preachers down here." You live without God, you'll die without God. You say, "I'll just wait till the last minute." You may not have the last minute, and you might just be so stinking hard-hearted like he was, you won't allow nobody to talk to you. I'm glad there's an antidote for all this. Again, I don't want to get nobody else's sermon, but I'm glad there's an antidote. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved."
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2. I'm glad He passed by my way one day. Amen. I'm glad He passed by my way one day. Hey, my wife and I were talking the other day. I'm quitting. My wife and I were talking the other day. We were driving down the road, and we had to admit, I'd made a late hospital visit. It was 10 o'clock at night, or later. It was 11 o'clock at night, probably. We was driving home, and we both had to admit it was a miracle that we lived through our teenage years. It was a miracle we lived through our teenage years. And as we kept on talking, we admitted it was a miracle we'd been married for 32 years. I'm not kidding. It was a miracle. We had to admit it was a miracle that we, both of us, wasn't dope heads or drunkards.
Amen.
We had to admit that. We had to admit it was a miracle that we weren't both whoremongers. We had to admit that. I'm so glad God came by my way.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you what it was. I was lying there spiritually dead, brother. I was lying there in the ditch spiritually dead. God came down the road. Waxhaw, North Carolina. God come down the road. He must needs go through Waxhaw. He come down the road. He said, "I see you over there, polluted in your own blood." He said, "Live!" And he just kept right on going. And I got up and lived. He said, "Live!" He didn't even have to say it that loud, but he might have said, "Live." Isn't that good? I'm trying to be dignified, Don, but I can't do it, son. It don't make good recordings. I know that. I'm so glad He saved my soul.
Amen.
I told a boy the other day at work, I said, we was talking about family. I said, look, I said, my home's a little bit of heaven on earth. And I swear he looked at me like, you're lying. He just couldn't believe it. That's the truth.
Amen.
Oh, we have our problems. I'm telling you, compared to the rest of the world, son, it's a cakewalk.
Amen.
I thank God for His marvelous sovereign grace. Amen. Do you know Him today? You know Him today.
Amen.
I hope so. I wouldn't leave here today if I didn't know Him. I'd find out. I'd ask Him to save me. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm quitting. I really am. I remember I had an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. He wasn't our stripe. He come to my house. He sat down. I was sitting there in the recliner. He talked about the house and what a pretty house we had. And he talked about the jobs we had. Finally, I looked at him. I said, "Preacher, I just want to get saved." I'd already, before he got there, I was going to tell him about every no good deacon I'd ever met, every preacher that ran off with his secretary. I was ready to argue with him. He wasn't there 5 minutes. I looked him in his eyeball and said, "Preacher, I just want to get saved."
Amen.
We got down on my fireplace hearth, and he said, "I was raised in a Christian school, brother. I've led people down the Romans Road lost." He said, "The Bible says this, this, and this." And I said, "I know." He said, "It'd be all right if I pray with you." I said, "Preacher, if it's all right, I'd just like to pray for myself. I done prayed with 10 other fellas." You know what I said? I can remember one thing I said. I didn't pray some long King James prayer. All I remember saying is, after this, heaven came down. I don't know what happened. All I remember saying is, "God, I'm sorry." And God showed up.
Amen.
And saved my soul.
Praise the Lord.
And you ask that lady right there, it ain't been the same since. Thank God.
Amen.
I don't know what you're going to do with that, brother.
Thank you, brother.